Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the live webcast once again. Thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you're having a good day wherever you are. As you can see, I'm on my own today. Barry is doing something with his church for a couple of days and speaking to a group of people, so he's unable to be with us. But he should be back next week, because next week I'll be away, and I think Barry will be, in fact, for the next 2 weeks, I'll be away and Barry will be doing it on his own if it happens. So just keep an eye on Facebook and you'll see the notifications. But welcome, thank you for joining us. I'll be continuing the series I've been doing on the Father's comfort. But just before I do that, I'd like to mention something that we've got coming up in March next year. We've got our annual Encounter Week, Encounter the Father, at Cloverley Hall in Shropshire, UK, from the 4th to the 10th of March 2023. These are amazing weeks. These are just a time for you to take out of the busyness of life and spend some time with Father. And we really believe, we've really seen it so many times. People have an encounter with the love of God. They have an encounter with the love of the Father. And they experience that love and they experience Him being a Father to them. And so I really recommend it. I'll be leading the Encounter Week with a team of people. I'm hoping to have my good friend Helene King joining me. And you're all very welcome to come along. It's a residential week. All of the information, including a booking form, is on our website, fatherheart.uk/encounter. And I'd really encourage you, if you've been on this week, to consider coming again. But if you've been on one of these weeks, why not recommend it to your friends, advertise it in your churches. These are life-changing weeks. We do deal with some issues of the heart, like forgiveness and a number of other blockages and hindrances to us receiving the love of the Father. So I would really encourage you guys just to think about coming and joining us for that week. Every year that we've been doing this, they've been very, very special weeks and have been life-changing for many, many people. So I'd really recommend that for you to consider and to pass around. There's you can share the event or whatever on Facebook and just pass it around as many people as possible. If your life's been changed, why not recommend it to your friends? So today I'm continuing the series I've been doing on the Father's comfort. I really believe comfort is something we all need to experience on a regular basis, on a daily basis. It's something we don't talk about, but it's something we desperately need to receive. And like I've said in the past 2 weeks, even as I'm sharing, even as I'm going through this webcast, I know that the Father will comfort many of you, even as you're listening. Those of you who are watching the video later, I know the same thing will happen to you, that as you watch, the Father will comfort you. Because we all need comfort. And in part one of this little series, I talked about trauma and loss. You know, we all experience trauma. We all experience loss. We experience it in different ways, and the only lasting answer to trauma and loss is for us to receive the Father's comfort being poured into our heart. We talked about mourning and walking through that process of grief, and how the Father comforts us. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then last week in part two, I talked about the Father of all comfort. And, you know, Paul writes in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, that God is the Father of all comfort. And He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we may comfort other people with the comfort that we've received. And we spoke about how Jesus said He was going back to the Father. but he would leave another comforter who would be with us forever. And we have the Holy Spirit who pours the Father's love into our hearts. And the Holy Spirit is that other comforter that Jesus referred to. And we can be comforted all the time, you know, any day, whatever we're going through, we can be comforted. And what we've tended to look at in the first two parts of this series is how we need to be comforted for things that have happened in the past, events that have happened in the past that we weren't comforted for, that we needed to be comforted for. We talked about how we can receive comfort for what happens today, you know, the events and circumstances of life that hit us, you know, how we can just come to the Father and say, Father, I need your comfort. You know, you are the Father of all comfort. Will you comfort me? And because very few of us receive comfort on a regular basis, because very few of us receive comfort when we need it, what we tend to do is end up playing catch up. And, you know, we need to do that. We need to receive the comfort that we missed out on. We need to receive the comfort that we didn't receive. And the Father does that. And as he pours his comfort into our heart, it sets us free from the pain and the woundedness that we've suffered. It heals our broken heart. And, you know, we get to the stage where we know that we've been comforted. We know that our broken heart has been healed. We know that he's bound up the brokenhearted. But I don't want you to leave it there. Because yes, comfort brings healing to our broken heart. But I really believe, and this is what I want to talk about today, is that we can go on receiving comfort and we can go on being comforted so that we build up a reservoir of comfort in our lives that strengthens our hearts and gives us the resources before we need them. So before we need to be comforted, we've been comforted and we live out of that surplus of comfort. And of course, as we are comforted and as we receive comfort and as we build up that reservoir of comfort in our heart, so we are able to give comfort to other people. The comfort that we've received, we can give to other people. That's what Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that when we've been comforted, we can comfort other people in the trouble that they're going through. And that's desperately what this world needs. You know, there's every day, I'm sure all of us meet people that are hurting and wounded and broken, and they need to be comforted. And if we haven't been comforted ourselves, then we can be understanding to other people. We can be sympathetic. We can be empathetic. But it's only when we have been comforted that we can comfort other people. Because Paul writes in Corinthians that we comfort other people with the comfort that he's given us, the comfort that we've received. And last week we looked at that those verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he thanks them for sending Titus. And he says, I was so comforted when Titus came to see me. See, and it, you know, Paul was obviously having a difficult time. Things were tough for him. But yet his friend turned up. And his friend, the coming of his friend Titus, comforted Paul's heart. But Paul says something else in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. He says, not only was I comforted by Titus's coming, but I was comforted by the comfort that you had given Titus. So, you know, he thanks the Corinthians for comforting Titus, and Paul receives that comfort as Titus visits him. See, that's how it works. As we have been comforted, we can then comfort other people with that same comfort. And so comfort heals our broken hearts. It deals with the woundedness and the pain that we all experience. And please, you know, I've said this in one of the earlier sessions, you know, often we're not very good at facing our need for comfort. You know, we try and pretend that things haven't happened. We try and pretend we're not hurt. We try and pretend that we're not wounded, and we want to carry on. And because we don't talk about comfort, we don't allow ourselves to be comforted. And I really want to encourage you once again is that if you know you need comfort, is to take time with the Father to say, Father, will you pour your comfort into my heart? We're going to have a few moments at the end of this session where again you'll have the opportunity to receive. And I want to encourage you to do that. You know, don't turn the computer off and go and do something else, but just take those few moments to receive the Father's comfort into your heart. And take time each day just to be comforted, because we all need it. You know, I very often get up and maybe nothing particular has happened in the day, but I say, Father, will you strengthen me with your comfort? Because the more we are comforted, the more we will be able to live out of a free heart. And that's really what I want to talk about in this final session on comfort, is the way as our heart is comforted, we come home. You know, a comforted heart finds its home with the Father. We have that homecoming. You know, we all need that homecoming. We all need to know that we've come home to the Father. And as we are comforted, and I'm going to show you this through scripture, but as we are comforted, we come home. And we can live from that place of being at home. You know, we know that we're at home with the Father. See, in its simplest form, our inheritance is to be sons and daughters. You know, it's belonging to the Father's family. It's continually being filled with the Spirit of life. It's having a free heart. It's knowing that we are free. You know, Paul writes in Romans that creation is waiting with eager anticipation for the sons of God to be revealed. You see, and creation is longing for the glorious freedom that we live in. And so that's our inheritance. You know, our inheritance is to live in peace and in rest. And you know, our inheritance is to know that there is nothing we need to do in order to become part of this family. You know, we belong because we're sons and daughters, because Jesus has paid the price and has brought us back home to the Father. You know, my children don't have to do anything in order to become part of the family. They simply belong because they were born into it. And you know, we too, we've been born again into the Father's family, and we belong. You know, in John chapter 1 verse 12, it says that all those who believe in him have been given the right to become children of God. You know, that's our simple and powerful inheritance, is that we're sons and daughters and we belong. We belong to the Father. There's nothing more we need to do. You know, the thing about shame, and many people live a shame-based life. The thing about shame is there's always something more we have to do, something more we have to have, something more we have to become. And that something more never stops, you know. And when we live under a cloud of shame, that we're always trying to find the more that we have to do or become or have. But as we live this comfort-filled life, we step into our true identity as sons and daughters. And one of the beautiful things that we discover is there is nothing more we need to do. There's nothing more we need to have. There's nothing more we need to become, because our identity is in him as sons and daughters. And as the Father said when Jesus was baptized, you know, you are my son. I love you. I'm proud of you. And that affirmation that Jesus received at his baptism is an affirmation that we need to receive on a regular basis, that we hear the Father say, you are my son. You are my daughter. I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm pleased with you. You know, with you, I am well pleased. You know, and maybe that's something you've lost sight of. And I just want to encourage you regularly to come to the Father and say, Father, say it again. Say those words of affirmation again into my heart. And I believe, and I've seen this so often, that as we live a comfort-filled life, it will enable us to live in the fullness of this powerful inheritance. You know, Jesus said, a slave, a servant, has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. A son has a permanent place in the family. And as our hearts are strengthened by the power of comfort, we live in the fullness of that inheritance. We live in the understanding of that promise that we belong forever. See, we discover that our life is built on solid rock rather than on shifting sand. And when we have that strong foundation, the whole of our life, every part of our life, will be enriched. And as our life is enriched, we will be able to enrich the life of other people that are around us. Living in love changes us. But as we live in love, it will change the lives of the people we meet. And so I want to take a little bit of time just to look at our homecoming and how we find that place of true contentment as we are comforted. If we read the book of Isaiah, the latter part, the last 20 or 25 chapters or so of Isaiah, they paint for us a big picture which shows us what the Father's comforting love is like. You know, Isaiah is prophetically written, obviously, and so the story that Isaiah is telling applies as much to you and me as it did to his original listeners. You know, what he's writing about there, what he's prophesying about there, is for us. It's for us today. It's for us to live in. And, you know, as we read those last few chapters, the second part of Isaiah, we see the big picture of comfort. And we haven't got time to read chapters 40 to 66 this evening, but so I'm just going to pick out a few little passages from those from that latter part of the book. And I want you to see the big picture for yourself, but I want you to begin to be comforted. I want your heart to receive comfort as you hear these scriptures being read. So the first one I want to look at is in Isaiah chapter 40. And again, we know this passage very well. The first two verses, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. And when he says comfort, comfort, what it really means is may you be greatly comforted. You know, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. You know, we are greatly comforted. And, you know, that's what the Father continually wants to do for us. You know, not just when we read these verses, but all of the time he wants to greatly comfort us. You know, we are his people, we are his children. And he says, I'm going to comfort you with my tender, compassionate love. See, this is his heart for his children. And You know, as we read through chapter 40, I just want to read in verse 5, the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You know, the glory of the Lord, very simply put, the glory of the Lord is a revelation of his personality, his character, and his nature. In Exodus chapter 34, the first 9 verses of that chapter, Moses asked God to see his glory. You know, Moses comes to God and says, show me your glory. And what he had was a revelation of the personality and the nature of God. You know, the Lord is loving. He is compassionate. He is slow to anger. He is faithful. He is forgiving. See, Moses said, show me your glory. And what he saw was the nature of God revealed. And here in Isaiah is saying the same thing, you know, comfort, comfort my people, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. As we are comforted, I believe the nature and the character of our Father is revealed in us. See, the glory of the Lord is revealed in us as we are comforted. Because what we're doing is we're beginning to walk as Jesus walked. We're walking in sonship, we're walking in love, we're walking in relationship with our Father. We're seeking to only do what we see the Father doing, only say what the Father is saying. And as we walk as Jesus walked, we become like Jesus. And as we become like Jesus, the nature of Jesus, the nature of the Father, the nature of the Holy Spirit will be revealed in us. We will begin to reveal the glory of the Lord. We will show off. We will show off the nature and character of the one that is living in us. See, as we are comforted, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all people will see it. Yeah, and Isaiah is very clear about this. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. See, this is a declaration that comes straight from the heart of the Father for us, that as we are comforted, so his nature and character will be revealed in us. And if we carry on reading through chapter 40 of Isaiah, we see later on in verses 27 to 31 that there's a renewal and a restoration that goes on, that takes place in our life. And we begin to see and experience his character and his nature. It's not about us. It's not about our own resources. It's not something that's self-made, but it's his life and his energy being renewed in us and overflowing out of us. And so I want to encourage you to go on being comforted. You know, even if you kind of wake up one day and think, hey, I don't need to be comforted for anything, ask the Father to comfort you so you build up that reservoir of comfort that gives you the strength to live from, that begins to reveal his nature and his personality in you, that flows out of you to other people. The second chapter I want to look at in Isaiah is Isaiah 51. You know, the beginning of the chapter, Isaiah reminds us that we are Abraham's children. You know, that we come from Abraham. And I just want to pick up on that a little bit, because Paul talks about that. The Apostle Paul talks about that in Galatians chapter 3 and chapter 4, where he talks about us becoming sons. You know, we're all sons of God through faith. And as we become sons, Paul says, we also become heirs. And heirs of all the promises given to Abraham. And, you know, I just want to pause and, you know, what was the promise given to Abraham? You know, if we go back to way back into Genesis, the promise given to Abraham that he was going to, the promise given to Abraham was that he would be a blessing to the nations of the world. And nations would come to him, and his descendants would be more numerous than the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And that inheritance that was promised to Abraham as a blessing is the inheritance that we receive, Paul says. We receive that because we're sons and daughters, because we're living in sonship. And it's that spirit of sonship, livingness, as we become sons and daughters, as we live in the fullness of our sonship, as we walk as Jesus walked, we too will become a blessing to the nations, because that's the inheritance that was promised to Abraham. And that's kind of the first couple of verses of Isaiah 51. But in verse 3 of Isaiah 51, Isaiah writes this, and again it's all about comfort. The Lord comforts Zion. He comforts her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. When we are comforted, the desert inside of us, the barren places of our heart, will be transformed into a beautiful garden. And instead of sadness and sorrow, there will be joy and gladness. Thanksgiving will rise up with inside of us. You see, this is what comfort does. This is what comfort does. When we are comforted, our life is transformed. What a beautiful picture of redemption this is. You know, what has become barren, what has become dry, what has become empty is transformed into a beautiful place of new life. And that's what it's like, isn't it? We know that's what it's like when we're living in pain, when we're living with woundedness, when we're living with a broken heart, for whatever reason, you know, whatever we've lost, whatever trauma we've been through. And again, please don't try and rate it as being small or big. You know, I said that in the first session. It's not about trying to measure it. Oh, this is a small loss. This is a small trauma. This is a big trauma. No, don't do that, because whatever loss we've suffered, whatever trauma we've experienced, we need to be comforted. And that trauma and that loss, and that woundedness, it makes our heart feel like a desert. And as we allow ourselves to be comforted, that desert is transformed into a beautiful garden. And that's what the Father wants to do. I get so excited about this, because this is the transformation of our hearts that takes place as we are comforted. Is that what was a wilderness becomes a beautiful garden. And so, I just keep on encouraging you to be comforted. Because the broken places of our heart become barren. And the Father is promising us new life. And so I want to encourage you to go for that. And even now, Father, just as we're here, just as we're listening to this, just as you're speaking to us, Father, even now in this moment, would you come to each one of us and comfort our broken hearts? Father, would you comfort the waste places inside of us, the broken places, the hurt places, the wounded places? Father, would you come and transform those barren parts of our heart into a beautiful garden? Father, would you transform the desert, the wilderness, into a place of joy and gladness? Father, would you go on comforting us throughout the rest of our time together? Thank you, Father. See, this is his promise to us. that comfort will transform us, but it does something else. If we go down to verse 11 of Isaiah 51, this is so beautiful. Those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. And what we see throughout this beautiful chapter in Isaiah is that comfort rescues us and it brings our hearts home. Comfort brings our hearts home. We see this so clearly in the story of the lost son in Luke 15. The welcoming embrace from the father stops the son in his tracks. You know, he's got his speech prepared. You know, I'm not worthy to be a son. I can only come back and be a servant. And the father has none of it. The father throws his arms around him and says, "You're not a servant. You're my son. You belong." And he puts a robe on him. He gives him sandals. He gives him the ring. And he says, "Son, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how you've behaved. But you're home. You're my son." And this is what Isaiah is talking about. That the Lord rescues us. He lifts us out of that pit. He takes hold of our broken, wounded heart. He comforts us. And then that comforted heart can come home. And this is so important for us to understand with our heart. This is not something we understand intellectually. This is something we understand with our heart. It's something we experience in our heart. It's something our heart knows at a deep level. And this is what I want to encourage for each one of us. This is my prayer for us today, is that we would allow ourselves to be comforted. We would allow the Father to rescue us. We would allow Him to bring us home. So all of the searching, all of the striving, all of the loneliness, all of the rejection, all of the emptiness can be washed away, and our heart comes home, and we know that we belong, and we find that place of contentment that often eludes us. You know, whatever our history, whatever our journey, we all need a homecoming. And I don't believe that's just a one-off. You know, I think there are times in our life when we really know that we've come home, and that becomes like a foundation stone in our life, and we know that we're home. But, you know, I think as the Father, as we walk with the Father and journey with the Father, it's like every now and then He puts His finger on something in our heart. And He says, you know, that little bit of your heart, I want to bring that bit of your heart home. You know, there's times we need a deeper homecoming. And I wrote about that in my book, The Depth of Love. That there are times the Father just touches something in our heart that maybe has been buried for many, many years. And He says, you need a deeper homecoming. And very often we know instantly what He's talking about. And it's in those moments that we can bring our heart to Him and say, here it is, Father. Will you bring this bit of my heart home? Will you bring me home? See, I think very often when He speaks to us like that, we know what it is. And it may be something that's been buried in our heart for years. But He wants to bring all of our heart home. Because our homecoming is part of our inheritance. You know, that Jesus said in John chapter 14, I'm going back to my Father, He said. And we will come. We will come and we will make our home with you. See, that's what He wants to do. He wants to make His home in our heart, and He wants us to make our home in His heart. And so this homecoming that Isaiah talks about is a homecoming of joy. It's a homecoming of celebration. It's a homecoming where we know that we belong. See, I meet many, many people as I travel around, and frankly, they don't know they belong. And because they don't know they belong, they're always searching, they're always striving, they're always trying to find something. They're trying to find their identity, they're trying to find that. They're trying to find who they are. And very often they try and seek that in false comforts that satisfy for a small period of time. But the only thing that satisfies forever is the comforting love of our Father. That as He comforts us, He transforms our heart and He brings us home. You know, we see that again, and we haven't got time to look at it tonight, but we see that again in Isaiah 35. You know, it's a very, very comforting passage that we see how fruitfulness will replace our former barrenness. You know, the glory of the Lord will be revealed in us. Fear will be driven away. And fear is the opposite of love. And fear has no place in a heart that is dwelling in love. We see that in 1 John 4:18. Perfect love casts out all fear. And again in Isaiah 35, we see how comfort brings us to a place of renewal. But just let me read these few verses from Isaiah 35, verse 8 and 10. 8 to 10. A highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there. Only those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. See, there again, if you read the whole of Isaiah 35, you'll see that that's a journey of renewal and restoration and being planted once again in love. And as we are planted in love, our heart is brought home. The redeemed of the Lord will walk there. Those the Lord has rescued will return. You know, we're not meant to be losers, always needing a visit to the spiritual accident in the emergency department. You know, that's very often how we live our lives, but that's not who we are. We are sons and daughters, and we have been set free to enjoy this life to the full. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness." And that's what the Father wants to do. He wants to bring our hearts home. He wants to bring our hearts home in the security of His comforting love, in order that we can begin to live life to the full. And this journey that we're on, as Isaiah said in Isaiah 35, it's a journey of holiness. And I don't want you to be put off by that word. You know, holiness simply means set apart. We are set apart for Him. You know, very often we have questions that are impossible to answer and cause us great problems. You know, like, how can I be holy? What do I have to do to be holy? How holy am I? You know, these are all the wrong questions, because holiness is not a substance which can be quantified. We are holy. We are already holy through the sacrificial and redeeming work of Jesus. We are set apart. And this highway is a highway for those that have been set apart. It's for those who walk on the way. You know, Isaiah is very clear. It's not for the unclean. It's not for the fools. But it's for those who've been redeemed. They are the ones who are brought home. And we enter our home with joy and celebration. See, a comforted heart will be led into holiness. because holiness describes the relationship we have with our Father. We cannot be truly holy without being comforted, because it's the work of comfort that removes the shame and the guilt from our life. Our homecoming is not to scoop us out of and away from disaster. It's not a rescue plan for those who are sinking, but our homecoming brings us to a place of peace and rest. It's a place where we live in the fullness of our inheritance. And as we live in our inheritance, at home in the Father's heart, we begin to find a place of true contentment. And so I want to encourage you to pursue your homecoming with all of your heart. Because as your heart comes home, the comforted heart will be brought home. And as it is, you will be enabled or empowered to live from a free heart. And that's what I really want to just conclude this little series with, is talking about contentment. Many people I meet, lots of people I meet, are not content. You know, there's very, very few people who are truly content. You know, people are constantly seeking new passions, new desires, possessions, hobbies, activities or busyness. And all of these things may not be wrong in themselves, but they're not the things that bring ultimate satisfaction or contentment. There's a constant pressure to have or to do. But when we are truly content, when we have been truly comforted, that pressure to have, that pressure to do is taken away. We see this so clearly in Psalm 131. King David, the king, writes this: "My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I don't concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I've calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, now and forever." We've all seen little babies with their mum when a little baby is feeding at its mother's breast. That child doesn't have a care in the world. That child is truly content. All his needs have been supplied. And that's the place that King David found. Despite being the king of a large empire, his heart was beautifully content in a childlike simplicity. And the more we are comforted, the more we receive comfort, the more we live out of that place of a comforted, strong heart, the more we will become content. And it's a content heart that is free, because we're not seeking, we're not searching, we found. We're living in that place of contentment. And our heart becomes strong. Not in our own strength, but it becomes strong because his love is strong. His comforting love is strong, and he pours the strength and the power of his love into our hearts. And that's what truly changes us. And so I want to encourage you to live a comfort-filled life, to allow your heart to come home, to allow the barren places, the broken places of your heart to be healed and restored. We all experience trauma. We all experience loss. And very often what we do is we bury that loss in our hearts, and we live with this weight, this burden inside of us. And what the Father wants to do is he wants to comfort us with his love. He wants our hearts to be comforted. He wants to bring our hearts home. the redeemed of the Lord shall return. The desert will be transformed into a beautiful garden. The sorrow, the sadness will be taken away. And instead of sorrow and sadness, there will be joy and gladness. As I said in the first part of this series, I asked a question. How long does this take? How much comfort do I need to receive? I don't know the answer to that. All I do know is that we go on being comforted until we have been comforted. We go on being comforted until that trauma has been lifted out of our heart. We go on being comforted until that loss, the pain of that loss, has been taken away. We go on being comforted until we know we've walked through that process of mourning and grief and our heart has become free. We live a comfort-filled life because Jesus promised us another comforter who would be with us forever. And that comforter is living inside of us. And that comforter brings our heart home. And so I just very simply want to conclude this session by just praying for us. I'll put some music on. I'm just going to pray a short prayer. And then I'm just going to leave the music on for a few minutes. And in those moments, just allow your heart to be comforted. Allow your heart to come home. He is the Father of all comfort. And he comforts us in all of our troubles. Whatever you're experiencing, whatever you're going through, he will comfort you. And so I just encourage you to open your heart and be comforted. I encourage you to open your heart and let your heart come home. Can you trust the Father with your heart? It's the safest place to bring it. And so I just encourage you to bring your heart to him. Say, Father, I trust you with my heart. Will you comfort the broken places? Will you transform my heart that I might begin to live in your life and experience life in all its fullness? So, Father, I just ask that you would come to each one of us now and you would pour your comfort into our heart, that we would experience the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, that we would experience you, Father, comforting us in all our troubles. So, Father, I just ask you to come to each one of us now, wherever we are. Those of us who are watching this later, Father, I ask you to come and pour your comfort into our hearts. Father, for my brothers and sisters, all the comfort they need in this moment, Father, will you pour it into their hearts? All the comfort they've missed out on over many years, would you pour it into their hearts right now? Thank you that we come to the Father of all compassion, the God of all comfort. I thank you, Father, that you're comforting us with your love now. You're dealing with the trauma. You're dealing with the loss. Father, comfort those who mourn. Comfort those who mourn. Father, just put your arms around them. May they feel and experience your embrace as they walk through the dark valley. The dark valley of grief, Father, may they experience your presence with them. And Father, may you comfort our hearts and bring them home so that the deserts inside of us, the barren places inside of us, would be transformed into that beautiful garden, and new life would come forth. Father, I pray for all my brothers and sisters watching this, that new life would come forth. Father, that instead of that barrenness, that wilderness, there would be life, and you would awaken something in our hearts, Father. Bring us to that place where we begin to experience life and life in all its fullness. Father, bring our hearts home. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord will return. Father, bring us home. Bring us home. Bring our lost hearts home. That we might find that place of freedom and joy. Father, just go on comforting us in these next few moments. The substance of your love being poured into our heart. Thank you, Father. Father, will you go on comforting us? Will you go on pouring your love into our hearts? Thank you, Father. Father, comfort us as we sleep. Comfort us when we wake. Thank you, Father. Thank you for joining me. As I say, Barry will be back next week, and I look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks' time. But thank you for being here with us.